Amen. Good morning, Cross Point. Great to see everyone. It's a beautiful, rainy morning. It's nice and cozy in here too, isn't it? Walked in here and woo, nice. I'm really happy to see everyone. Glad that you're here. I know a lot of people contacted me this morning. A lot of people are sick right now. A lot of people watching online. And so we welcome you as well. Those of you that are joining us online, we're glad that we're able to provide that for you. And you're very much part of our service. I have my little bag here. This is our gift bag for people that are our guests for the first time. If you are here for the first time, we welcome you. We also want to encourage you to make sure you grab one of these. And then really important, too, if you would go online, if you wish to, we would love for you to do that. Go online and scroll all the way down on our website, crosspointchristianchurch.com. And you'll see a small, easy-to-fill contact form that will allow us to send you texts, emails, especially every week we have a newsletter that goes out and informs you of everything that's happening. So this morning I want to share some of those things that are in there in case you don't get those emails. If you submit your contact info and you don't get those emails, see us. We have a technical team. I'm not sure who that is. We have a technical team that I'm sure will help you get that all set up. But you should know some dates. For example, today, maybe not necessarily because you're going to be participating in these. Hopefully you will in most of these, but you should be in prayer about other things that are happening in our church. For example, today the young adults and youth are going to be going out to Uptown Whittier and passing out the Christmas cards that they made last week. They're going to put a little gift card in there and an invitation for people to join us on the 18th. So keep that group that goes out today, this afternoon, evening. And at the same time, on the 18th, know that a week from today, we plan on having our Christmas service. We plan on having it outdoors, but we have it covered. We have plan B in case it continues to rain. You know, the forecast shows rain and then it doesn't. So if it does rain or if it's too cold, we'll have it in here. It'll be really nicely set up and we'll still have everything that we want to do for that evening. We'll do some singing. We're going to have a Christmas message. We're going to have on that day a little fun, some raffles, give away some gifts, and just spend a really blessed time together celebrating Christmas a week before the actual day. So that's December the 18th. We would highly encourage you. That's a great event for you to invite either family members, relatives, or maybe friends, neighbors. They may not necessarily want to come to a Sunday morning worship service, but they might want to join us on a fun Christmas service outdoors, or it'll be a little bit different. I understand that if you bring somebody new, this is last minute. This is not in the newsletter, but if you bring somebody new with you, this is just us trying to encourage you to be intentional about inviting people. And if you bring somebody with you, make sure they fill out a contact form, and that's actually going to get you into a special raffle. It has not been disclosed to me what that special raffle is going to be, but if you bring some guests, make sure they register, and that gives you tickets towards this special raffle. I'm planning on bringing a bunch of people so that I win that. I don't know what it is. But keep it in mind, it's just us creating a little consciousness. You know, service is coming up. Let me invite some people. Obviously, we don't need to do it for the gift, but it'll just be a little more fun to keep that in mind. All right, the 18th, that's next Sunday, 6 p.m. here at church, our Christmas service. On the 17th, the day before that, we want to, my wife and I, my family, want to invite the young adults to our house to celebrate Christmas as well. So we're going to have a special Christmas celebration, the young adults. We call it the YAM, which is the Young Adults Ministry. So it's on there. Make sure you join us. We'll be great and pleased and honored to have you guys join us that day on Saturday, my place. All the information is on the newsletter. Christmas Day is on Sunday. And so we plan on having a combined service. Those are always a little more special for us, just getting the Spanish group here with us. And it'll be at 11 a.m., so that if you have some Christmas traditions, maybe breakfast with the family or whatever, it'll give you time to take care of that. And then at 11, we'll come together and celebrate Christmas, the birth of our Lord together. That's different. We usually have a combined service, and it's at 10 a.m. This time, we're going to do 11. And this is also just in We plan on doing the same thing for New Year's. So New Year's, the first day of the year, is also going to be on Sunday, January 1st, 2023, if you can believe that. And we want to start the year together, and so we'll have a combined service also at 11. I'm sure most of you, if you bring in the new year, we don't want you here with no sleep. So combined service on Christmas Day, the 25th, combined service on New Year's Day, both at 11 a.m. All right? You guys got all that? Very cool. For New Year's also, this is not in the newsletter, but we want to have a get-together, a celebration on New Year's Eve. We've done that in the past. It was very well attended, and so we want to do that again. So New Year's Eve here, I believe it starts at 9. There's going to be a lot more information in the next couple of weeks, but just put that on your calendar. New Year's Eve at Cross Point, starting at 9 p.m. on Saturday evening. We'll give you more info on that. I've got more info, but I'll just leave it at that. Lastly, I want to say, just to put a word out there for growth groups. We're really excited about growth groups. You know, we have about 100 people that participated in growth groups this past trimester. We're not a huge congregation, and so to have 100 people participating in growth groups is really, really good. But there's a lot of you that don't participate in growth groups, and so a word to you. That haven't participated in that, and having conversations with people about growth groups. You know, somebody during this week, actually a couple days ago, mentioned how at the beginning they were very intimidated by growth groups. They were fairly new in our church, and they felt, you know, everybody else kind of knows more than we do, and everybody kind of knows each other. We're kind of like the outsiders. But they took a step of faith. They signed up for a growth group, and then they signed up for another one and another one, and now I think they're in all of the growth groups. But my point is, if that's you or you can relate to that, don't be intimidated. You know, I want to believe that we are not a legalistic type of church. I'm not going to force you to do anything, but we are saying, the leadership of the church, myself and the elders of the church, are saying, look, we're all about making disciples because that's what the church is about. We want to be disciples of the Lord and we want to make disciples. And so we have a discipleship process. And you're part of step number one, being part of our Sunday morning worship experience. Part number two out of three is to commit yourself to growing spiritually through growth groups. And then step number three is showing God's love through service teams, serving the Lord by serving the church and outside the church. So that's our discipleship process. We would encourage you to. I believe this coming January, we're going to have about 11 groups that you can be part of. So there's going to be a lot more options for you. And all that information will be available next week. So next Sunday, we're going to start promoting. You're going to have all the information about all the groups. There'll be information online where you can start signing up. This trimester, we want to encourage you to maybe sign up for one growth group. We have a really cool phenomenon, I think, where a lot of you signed up for more than one growth group. So most churches, I know, struggle to get people to sign up to a growth group. We have really good participation in our church. We want to make that better. But then, in addition to that, a lot of you are signed up to multiple growth groups. So this time around, just for the sake of keeping the groups a little bit smaller and being able to create closer friendships, we want to encourage you to sign up to one growth group. But next week, we'll also give you more information about something really special that is happening here at Crosspoint, which is we've been developing a leadership development program. So a lot of you that feel like, you know what, I need a little extra, like I want to take it to the next level, I want to serve the Lord, but I want to feel I'm prepared, I want to know what I'm talking about. We are developing a leadership development program that's going to include taking some courses that are kind of seminary level courses taught by seminary professors, but we're going to do those in small groups, and we're excited to do that. So especially, you're probably hearing this for the first time, many of you, but if you're an elder, a deacon, if you're a leadership, if you're a ministry leader, if you're participating in leadership type activities, you feel the Lord is calling you to do that, we're going to offer these courses. So we'll have more information, but keep that in mind. And so for those people that are interested in the leadership development, we would hope that you would be participating in a growth group. And in addition to that, be taking these leadership development courses. So we're excited. Every once in a while, we get somebody that says, you know, I need more, Mike. I need a little more meat. I need a little more. Well, this is definitely a lot more, and you'll be able to grow as much as you want, but we're going to have some cohorts, some groups that do that together. So we're excited about that. I know that's a lot of information, but just know that as we wrap up 2022 and start looking at 2023, we've been looking at 2023, we have some really exciting things happening, but it'll only be really exciting if you guys participate in everything that we're doing. Our goal is to glorify God by lovingly pointing people to the cross of Christ for salvation and growth. That's our mission statement. It's on your handout. I hope everybody's got a handout. I hope that everybody's here ready to expect to hear from God. I'm excited for the message that I want to share with you, so we'll get to that in just a little bit. It's special when we get together. It's special when children of God that belong to a community or a congregation get together. We do that on Sunday morning. It's awesome to see you here. And when we get together, we want to make this central to our gathering. And what this is a celebration. This is a way for us to remember what Jesus Christ, our Lord, did for us at the cross of Calvary, very specifically. And so I want to share with you a verse. If you didn't grab one of these and you want to take part in taking communion with us, raise your hand. We'll have one of our ushers come by and give you one. This is what we're going to use to take communion this morning. And what I want to do is I want to look at Matthew 1:21. I'm sure I've shared this verse with you before, but you know, today's the 11th of December, very special day because it's my son's birthday today, so I think he's up there somewhere, but happy birthday, son. Where are you? Right there. Okay. This is his last teenage year. Can you believe that? Very excited and proud of him, of course. Matthew 1:21, this, in context, this is the angel speaking to Joseph, and listen to what it says. It says, and she, referring to Mary when she was a virgin, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. We cannot forget or allow different ideas to creep into the idea that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, like Paul says. And Paul even says, of which I am number one, I am chief. The Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, became a man, lived a perfect life, was willing to offer that life as a sacrifice or as a payment for your sins, for my sins. You shall call his name Jesus, which literally means God saves. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Christians are people that have been saved from their sins. And the question is, how did that happen? Well, the Lord didn't just say, you know what, you've transgressed against me, but don't worry about it. We're just going to pretend like it never happened. That's not what a just and perfect God does. The Bible says that the soul that sins, it shall die. And then it says in Romans, Paul says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we celebrate, we get together. The reason why we are together, we come from different places, different backgrounds, different everything, most of us. And yet what binds us together is what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross. He took our place. And so as you peel back the first plastic, you'll see the bread. That symbolizes, it represents the sinless body of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave up his body, his life, for our sins. Let's take that together. As you peel back the second layer, you see the juice that represents the blood, the very payment for our sin, through which we receive redemption, forgiveness, and a new life. Let's take that together. And I believe we have our new hymn ready to go. So let's go ahead and stand. We're going to do a little congregational singing. This hymn is called Trust and Obey. Let's sing it together. We'll sing it for 3 weeks, and then we'll switch it to another hymn. And it goes, sing it nice and loud if you know it, all right?
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Gracious Father, we're grateful this morning for allowing us the opportunity, the privilege to come together to praise You, to lift up Your holy name, to thank You, and recognize Your goodness and Your grace and Your love towards us. We thank You for Your word. Father, we hope and pray that as we listen to this message, that You would speak to us through Your Holy Spirit. As we are reminded, Lord Jesus, of what You did for us at the cross, we thank You. And we pray Your blessing on the service and everyone that's here and those joining us online. We pray in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may have a seat, beloved. This morning, with the remaining time, I want to share a message as we continue the messages based out of Luke chapter 11. We are in verse 33. Today we're going to read verses 33 through 36. The title of this morning's message, as it says in your handout, which I hope you all have, is The Lamp of the Body. The Lamp of the Body. I'm going to read this section to get us started. And I also want to share with you the main point. What is it that we are hoping to get out of this message? And that is that we glorify God by using our eyes to bring good light to our souls. So what I want to do this morning is I want to explain this passage and its context, but I also want to spend a lot of time in very practical terms. I think the reason why I didn't include this section in last week's message, because I felt for the last several weeks that this warrants a message on its own because of the time, I think more than anything, the time that we live in, but you'll see what I mean. The main point is we glorify God, and that's what it's all about. We glorify God by using our eyes to bring good light to our souls. Let me read that, and then we're going to share three points. Starting in verse 33, the Lord speaking, He says, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. So the context here, as we saw in the last couple of messages based out of Luke, you know that we saw how the Lord Jesus Christ was exerting his power. He would demonstrate his power by doing all kinds of signs. We talked about signs last week. But he clearly demonstrated his power, even his deity. We talked about even creation itself lets us know that God not only exists, but it tells us about his handiwork, his creativity, his power, and his love for us. And what we also have seen is that especially the religious leaders would obviously see these things, these manifestations of God's deity and power, the Lord Jesus Christ specifically, and they would deny his power. They would rather blaspheme and say that, you know, he would cast out demons by the power of Satan himself, Beelzebub. And so this sayings, these verses are in that context where the Lord is saying, look, if your eye is bad, or the way you perceive things, not necessarily your physical eye, but the way you perceive things, if that is bad, then everything you see, everything you take in, you're going to give this bad twist to it. You're going to see God's obvious power, you're going to deny it. You're going to see God's demonstration of love, and it's not going to be good enough for you. And that's the context here. He's basically speaking to these, especially these religious leaders that knew better. And he's saying, look, you got to be very careful how you perceive things, how you see things. Because if you're not careful, you're going to see the obvious from God, and you're going to reject it. Well, it's going to be no big deal. It's going to be so familiar to you. I want to see more. I want to see more signs. I want to see more manifestations of your power and grace. I want you, Lord, to demonstrate whether you really are good to me. And when we're in that place, we talked about this, you're not in a good place. And so that's really the context here. The Lord is letting them know. He's rebuking them. He's warning them. Be careful, because if your eye is bad, if the way you perceive things is bad, then your whole body is going to be messed up, even if you pretend on the outside that everything is good. What we're going to do next week, the next time we address Luke, we're going to talk about hypocrisy, because the Lord addresses it here and at the beginning of chapter 12. And so that's also the context in which this is written. The Lord says these things right before he addresses the hypocrisy, especially of the religious elite, the people that knew better. So keep that in mind. What I want to do this morning, though, is I think we've addressed some of that. And, you know, looking for signs and the week before, 2 weeks before that. So what I want to do is I want to share with you, I believe, a very practical term or a very practical message in terms of our eyes and how we see things. The Bible has a lot to say about our spiritual eyesight. And so my question to you would be, how is your spiritual eyesight nowadays? What are you looking at? How are you seeing things? What is it that is what do you find yourself being attracted to as you look out? That's kind of what I want to share this morning. And I want to start by, we're going to answer this, or we're going to fill out this phrase. Illuminating our souls with our eyes means, Bible says that our eyes are the windows to our souls. And so if our eyes are bad, everything that comes into us comes in through our eyes, how we perceive things, not so much just our physical vision, but how we perceive things. And so we want to be very careful with that. And so illuminating our souls with our eyes means, because the Lord here says, you know, if your eyes are good, then your whole body is going to be good. And that's where we want to be. But he says, if your eyes are bad, the way you perceive things is bad, then everything on the inside is going to be bad. And so we want to be people that are being illuminated through what comes through our eyes. And so illuminating our souls with our eyes or through our eyes means, point number one, that people around us are blessed. And I think that's really important. I'm really interested in people around me being blessed, beloved, because, you know, no person is an island, and so you're connected with your family, you're connected with your coworkers, you're connected with your teammates, you're connected with your relatives, people in your community. I mean, all of us belong to different circles, social circles, whether we like it or not. And so people around us, I'm talking, you know, for us as Christians, as disciples of the Lord, we have to be very aware of the fact that we are impacting the people around us. It's not a matter of whether we are impacting people around us or not. It's how we are impacting people. Even if you say, well, I don't like people, I don't talk to people, I keep to myself, well, you're impacting your social circles by doing that. Most likely in a negative way, or you're not being a positive influence. But here in verse 33, as Christians, we want to be positive influences for the people around us. In verse 33 that we read, it says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand for what? That those who come in may see the light. Right? When you enter, when it's dark, when you enter a dark room and maybe you have people behind you, when you get home, your family behind you, you open the door, you turn on the light so that people behind you can come in, not trip, not hit themselves or, you know, whatever it is. Here it's saying, if we are careful to make sure that our eyes are good and we perceive things right and we are allowing our souls to be illuminated with good, then not only are we going to be good, but that light in us is going to shine so that people around us can be blessed. And as Christians, we have to be concerned with that. When the Lord says, go out and make disciples, you can't say to him, well, I'd rather be happy being a Christian, knowing that I'm going to heaven and not hell. But everybody else can just kind of worry for themselves. And I would imagine that none of us would articulate that. But I would say that a lot of us kind of live that way, kind of careless about how we're impacting other people. And the Lord is saying, look, if you have good eyes and you're being illuminated, then don't hide that light. Let others be blessed by it. A Christian, a follower of Christ, needs to be an individual that is a blessing to others no matter where you are. And you might say, well, Mike, you don't know my teammates. They're a little crazy. Well, you know what those teammates need? They need some light. You know, at work, things are really bad. Well, good. Maybe that's why God has you there, so you could make things better and be a blessing to people. My family is so dysfunctional, Mike, you wouldn't even know where to start. I probably wouldn't, but I know God has you there. And I know who gave you that family. You didn't choose that family. And so that family, you're there for that family to illuminate with that light that is in you. So let me share a couple of verses here. So illuminating our souls with our eyes means, point number one, that people around us are blessed. And the question easily is, how are you impacting people around you? How are people around you being blessed? And if they're not, confess it, repent from that, and let's get ready for a new year. I love new years. New months, new years. It's a great place to analyze your life and then say, you know what, I got to make some corrections here. Let me start the new year. You can start now, but you can start the new year with a different attitude. I hope that whenever we're exposed to God's word, that we are transformed to be more like Christ. Matthew 5:16, the Lord says, let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. People around you are going to glorify God when they see your light or your good works, your light demonstrated through good works. I would say that's our third part of our discipleship process, to serve the world with God's love. That is exactly what we're saying. When you're committed to following the Lord, part of that commitment is, I want to serve people around me. And when people around me ask me, why are you being so kind to me? Why do you care about helping me? You say, you know, because of what the Lord has done for me. I could never repay him. So as good as he has been to me, I want to be good to other people. And they're going to say, well, thank your Lord. I don't even know who he is, but maybe I want to know more about him. The Lord says, let your light so shine before men, meaning don't hide your light, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You want to be in a place where you are blessing people and God is being glorified because of the light that is in you, and you're not hiding it, but you're showing it through your good works. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Whoa. All things without complaining or disputing? Yeah. Why? So that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Maybe our perspective needs to change. When you see all the bad people, all the sinful people around you, if that's your attitude, you got to realize, one, we're all sinful. Two, only by God's grace are you no longer like them. And three, I want to impact them for God's kingdom. I want them to know God's love. And so it says, among a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Illuminating our souls with our eyes means that people around us are blessed, that our light shines, people recognize the light, and people glorify God because of this light. Very important. Point number two. Illuminating our souls with our eyes also means having to be intentional about good. So here, the Lord gives us this responsibility. Verse 34 says, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. And who's responsible for your eyes? You are. What you look at, what you watch, and how you perceive things is really up to you. I am, one, fascinated, and two, encouraged when I hear you, many of you, talk about how in the midst of the worst of circumstances, you're able to testify of God's goodness. And I've heard that repeatedly through growth groups, especially when people get a little more intimate, a little more open. People say, you know what, this in many ways has been the worst year of my life and by physical things that have occurred, and yet it's the best year of my life. What are we saying? We're testifying of God's goodness. We're choosing to see things with spiritual eyes. So Job 31:3. So we have a responsibility. We have to be intentional about good coming in through our eyes. What we do with our eyes, how we use our eyes, is up to us. Look at what Job said. Job 31:1. We know Job as this guy that lost everything. We feel bad, really bad for him, you know, and like, wow. And then his wife told him to just, all that stuff. But look at what he says. He says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? Job, 4,000 years ago, said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I lust over a young woman? He has a wife. He has no business using his eyes to look at other women. Amazing. Tell me that quote from Job is not applicable to us 4,000 years later. Have you made a covenant with your eyes? You know, as a kid, I learned this little chorus at church. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. What? Be careful, little eyes, what you see, for your Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Man, that gave me a really hard time as an 11, 12, 13, 14, 47-year-old. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Are you being intentional about what goes in through your eyes is good? Or are you being careless? And I mentioned at the beginning, you know, our culture, our society, our times right now, where things are so visual. Everybody, all of you guys have like unlimited visual stimuli in your pockets with your phone. 24/7, more information, more images, more videos that you'll ever have time to see. That's the culture that we live in. Our children are growing up with that being the norm. We have to be intentional about what comes into our eyes and making sure that it is good. Hebrews 12:2, one of my favorite portions, but it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You might say like, well, how do I get into this covenant? How do I train my eyes? Here he says, looking unto Jesus. Talks about us being in a race. He says, get rid of the sin, the things that weigh you down, and put your eyes upon Jesus. Wonderful hymn that we're going to eventually sing here as well. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. So here he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, keep your eyes focused on him, not just in a physical way, but also metaphorically in our lives. We need to be intentional about our eyesight. Romans 12:2. Paul says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're talking about being intentional about good. In Romans 12:2, he says, don't allow this world to conform you into its pattern. From the minute that you wake up, the world is pressuring you to become like it. And Paul says, be intentional about not allowing yourself to be conformed to this world. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are you going to perceive things? What are you going to allow to come into your soul through your eyes? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How we view things, how we interpret things, the kind of worldview we possess as we interpret everything around us has to do with our mind. The mind is a battlefield. And unless you're focused on him, you're going to have a really hard time getting through this life without being dragged down by this world. So illuminating our souls with our eyes means people around us are blessed. It also means us having to be intentional about the good that comes into us. And point number three, it also means that we guard them against evil. There's some overlap there, of course. We guard our eyes against evil. So Luke 11:34, which we read, the second portion of that verse says, but when your eye is bad, your whole body is also full of darkness. You know, in very practical terms, men are usually more visual. And the Lord knows that. Matthew 5:28, it says, but I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with his heart, or in his heart. The Lord puts a lot of emphasis in our eyes. And so for men, a very obvious, simple thing to address is what we are looking at. In our culture, pornography is such a big problem. It's such a big problem. And it's not outside the church. It's inside the church, and it's everywhere. And so unless you're being intentional about guarding yourself against that, you don't stand a chance. I love our men's group. We get together on Friday night, and we try to get real about things and keeping each other accountable and encouraging one another. You know? Now, it's not a lusting after people with our eyes is not a male-only thing, obviously. And that's not the only way that we lust against things. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, listen to this, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. So it's not just for guys looking at girls or girls looking at guys. It's all of us looking at our neighbor and seeing what they're driving or seeing our neighbor, how well they seem to be doing and looking at, oh, look at what they're wearing and look at what they have. And man, I wish I had a better this and a better that. All of those things are lusts of this world. Our flesh, our eyes, the pride of life. Wanting more, coveting stuff, being jealous of others, feeling inadequate because we don't look like this or we don't have that. All of those things are things that we have to guard against because all of that is evil. If you're going around coveting all the good stuff that other people have, you know what that does to your mind and to your heart? You're never going to be content. And when you're not content, how can you be in a good relationship with God who's the giver of all things? He's your shepherd, and if you're not happy with the way he's leading you, you're going to have a really hard time as a Christian. If you're jealous of other people, you're also complaining against God. Well, how come he gets to have that and I don't? I'm a much better person than they are. I never miss on Sundays. They come like once a month and they got that? I know we wouldn't say that. And beloved, we have to be honest. We're all broken. We're all lacking. Dr. Dobson used to say, we're on the same sinking boat. Like, nobody should, I hope that nobody here comes to church feeling like, man, I'm probably the only one that does this and does that or feels like this or feels like that. I assure you, you're not. We're all in the same battle. We all have the same enemy. We all have similar shortcomings. And that's why we get together, to encourage each other unto love and good works, it says in Hebrews. It's not just for the sake of getting together on a Sunday morning. All of us could have been doing other stuff. But we come together to submit ourselves to the Lord, to raise our voices, to worship and praise Him, to see one another. I love standing back there and just seeing how you guys interact. And with usually Jasmine says, say hi to your neighbor. You guys like that? Hey, neighbor. Hey, neighbor. You guys like saying, hey, neighbor. I enjoy seeing the interaction. I enjoy coming here and then seeing people drinking coffee together outside, knowing that you guys are going to get together for your growth groups, and we're here to submit ourselves under the authority of God, not the preacher and not the leaders of the church. Your attitude needs to be, I'm here to submit myself to the authority of God through His scripture. And this morning we did talk about eyes and the responsibility that we have with our eyes. You know how to, back in the day, probably in my early 20s, I used to work at a metal shop. And every once in a while we used to go and install certain things, panels, all kinds of stuff. And every once in a while, we would get new workers through an agency. And one time, this guy, very much, he would say, on fire for the Lord, very emotional, very praise the Lord. And I ended up working with him, and we're on the job site. And I guess a good woman, a good-looking woman passed by, and he stares. And I'm looking at him because I know he's over here professing to be a Christian. And, you know, our testimony, we got to be careful with that. Not that Christians don't find women attractive, but you got to be careful with their testimony. And he looks at me, and right away he goes like, oh, brother, you got to pray for me. God made me a new creation, but I'm still waiting for my new eyes. Let me research that a little bit. It didn't quite sound right. You know, he's using it as an excuse. It's just an excuse. I'm just looking, but, you know, it's okay to window. It's not okay. Job says, and Job in his time, you know, women didn't dress the way a lot of women dress nowadays. I would imagine Job would have had an even harder time if he would have been living in our society. But he says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. I'm going to honor God. If you're a husband, I'm going to honor my wife. If you're a father, I'm going to honor my kids, my daughters, my sons, by making a covenant with my eyes, making a deal with my eyes that I would not look with lust upon any woman. That I want to show God my contentment with the woman that He's given me. And the same thing goes for women with their husbands, and not just in a sexual way, but in any way, what we look at, what we aspire for, what we covet, our dreams and goals need to be different than from the world, beloved. Can't be chasing after the things of this world. The Bible says, if the love of the world is in us, then the love of the Father is not in us. You can't have both. The Lord says you can't have two masters. You can't serve yourself, this world, and riches, and also serve God. You can't do it. You got to choose. We need to choose to be wise with our eyes, not just physically with what we literally see with our vision, but how we interpret things and the things that we are chasing after. Chase after God. You know, we sang a song how there's no shadow He doesn't illuminate. There's no mountain He doesn't climb on chasing after me. He does do that. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, and he was willing to climb on a cross for us. And the Bible says that He died for all, that those who live shall live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. My encouragement to you is that we will be careful, that we realize that the lamp of the body is our eyes, what we allow ourselves to look at. We have to be intentional about seeking good and seeing the good and interpreting things and having a godly perspective on things. Also guarding against the evil that is out there and coming. We are allowing evil to come into our souls through our eyes, and how we see things and perceive things. And if we do that, then people around us are going to be blessed. And that's what we want, beloved. If we do that, then next week when you invite people to church, they're not going to look at you and say, like, to your church? Why would I want to go to your church? I see you. I see how you look at those ladies. I see you how you're all about a new car and making more money and cheating at work. And maybe some of you guys probably remember bragging about how you used to take advantage of work and used to cheat stuff and, you know, lie on your taxes and all that stuff. Boy, I hope that people see a difference in us. And so when that light is illuminating others coming outside from the inside of us, people are going to be attracted to what you have. And they're going to want that. And when you invite them to church, they're going to say, okay, I'll give it a shot. You know, I'll give it a shot. I want to know about why, what makes you so different. I want to know why you're saying that this is your best year, even though everybody will say it's your worst year. I want to know about that. May that be our attitude, beloved. The lamp of the body is our eyes, and we are responsible with what comes in. If we allow good to come in, there's going to be light from within radiating, and other people will be blessed. I hope you're blessed by that. Gracious Father, we're grateful for this beautiful morning. Again, this beautiful rain that we need here in Southern California. We're in awe of the fact that you, Father, would design a planet through which we get free water from the sky. Help us to never grow old in being in awe of you. But thank you for what you've done spiritually for us. Father, you gave up your own only begotten Son as a payment and as a substitute for us at the cross of Calvary some 2,000 years ago, that we would have an opportunity to come to you in repentance and faith and receive this gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Thank you for everybody who's here. Father, as we heard this message from your word, I pray that you would lead us, guide us, help us to apply that, transform us every day, that we will be more like your Son, Jesus, our Lord, for your glory. We pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. God bless you, beloved. You're dismissed.